VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it is Justin Timberlake.
We're bringing Sexy back with you?
We are indeed bringing Sexy Timmy. Back. Let's go.
That fits your vibe, my friend. You going to shake it for us?
That's why I'm standing.
First of all, this is why it's not a video podcast. It's, oh, my God, Tim dropped his pants and he's showing us his butt. Amazing.
It really is amazing.
So and, jacked. And come on took, now, bring Sexy back.
It took way too long to get to that. Like how did we get this far into the podcast?
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, how are you? It is 2006. Ben Barton, do you believe we're this far along in the podcast?
I know, it's like time passes quickly. Tempest fusion.
Indeed. Jeff Simons, how are you doing out in Berkeley?
Living the dream. I'm in pre-vaccine purgatory, so we'll see. They're talking big noise about when we teachers are going to get it. We'll see if it happens. But
okay.
They just moved my date up significantly in an email right before we started recording. So.
Oh, interesting. You're actually getting emails. All I know is that we are in category 1B.
Yep.
But we're not sure in North Carolina when 1B will start.
But there's a whole discussion about whether law professors count as teachers. And I was like, no, my friend. We are not in 1B. We're in category 1. Go fuck yourself. That's where we are for sure.
Well, it is 2006. You might notice that I am standing for the podcast tonight. This is not part of my get in shape. You know, the whole idea that sitting is the new smoking. My chair has been stolen by my son who needs it for his gaming.
Nice.
So I don't have a chair in my office because the child who was born in 2006 has taken that chair, which is totally on brand because this was the baby with whom I stayed home for a year. Did either of you stay home with any of your children?
You're awesome. This is the second time you dunked on us.
Really is.
All, I stayed home. Yeah, I stayed home.
Have I
Georgia
asked?
Was born in June. I didn't start again until September. So yeah, I stayed home.
The following
but no,
September.
That's right. You stayed home for a whole year and you're amazing. You're a much better husband and father. We got it. That's clear.
I actually have a copy of Mr. Mom on VHS that I keep meaning to send you. Which you'll notice very similar.
I think you should start every podcast with, did you guys stay home? I'm forgetting.
I totally 220, agree. 221, whatever it takes.
Oh my God. So funny.
It was an extraordinary year.
Apparently you did a really crap job because he's Mr. Video Game. He stole your chair.
And he's stealing my chair. I love
You know, they say
guy.
The first year is when all the morality locks into place. The good judgment.
Becomes part of the personality. Well, when we die and our children take over the pod.
Also, this is not, I don't like this feature either. But when we die, that's why we're doing this.
He will take over in the chair that I once occupied. It's great.
I do believe you'll still have that chair in 35, 40 years or whatever it is.
The good news is by the time we're done.
Considering your ceiling, I believe that chair is going to be sticking around for a long time down there.
We'll have more than 50 hours of this content. And then so for our funeral, it'll be like it starts Tuesday at noon. And there's 50 straight hours you have to listen to these guys talking on a podcast.
I love this idea.
They'll all kill themselves and it'll be great.
Oh, my God.
All right. Welcome to 50 Years of Music with us, 50-year-old white guys. We're part of the Drive-In Podcast Network. So go to musiccitydrivein.com for all your podcasting and pop culture and fantasy football needs. All right, 2006. What do you have in store for us? Jeff Simons, let's start with the Grammy winner.
Happy to oblige.
It's the Grammy winner.
Not Ready to Make Nice by the Dixie Chicks.
That's what this is?
Sounds good.
I thought it was the like acoustic rocker to the free world. This is that dumb Dixie Chick song?
Yeah.
Am I right? This is the same three chords, right? The beginning is the...
Totally. It's Indigo Springsteen, this song.
I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
This is the, like, basically they get in trouble for being mean to George W. Bush.
Yes.
Like a couple of years before, well, like 2002 or 2003?
Well, during the war, 2003, yeah. And they got iced out of all the radio stations that played.
But then they come back with this song.
Yes.
And then they win the Grammy.
Well, it also turns out that perhaps their objections to the war.
Oh, dude, like, I'm not here to argue whether they should object to the war or not. I'm here to argue whether they deserve to get a Grammy because they objected to the war 3 years ago.
That's
like, this is not a good song.
You know, but it's a lot better than Friends in Low Places. I mean, I don't like this song either, but there's...
It's not a country song either. It's not a country song.
No, it sounds like if Staind tried to make a country song. Like, I have all kinds of objections to the sound and the sonic choices and the slip.
By the way, it's a Reuben production.
Yeah, is it really?
I bet you dollars to donuts it's Reuben. And he did the record. I'm almost positive.
That's a shame.
That's fascinating.
It's his worst instincts. But it's objectively good. It's just it's like a Denny's omelet, like good ingredients that are put together all wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it's like nothing taken individually about this is bad, but they don't coalesce into something I would want to hear again.
Not a fan of the song.
Not really.
Wait, didn't they just have a new album in 2020.
Bad. Yeah, totally. And that's an Antonoff record. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, they've transitioned into a political band for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's almost like they didn't have a choice, right? Like, they're either going to become irrelevant or they're going to lean into the new identity. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's worked out great for them.
Yeah. And they could, come on, they can sing, they can play. They have tremendous people backing them up. Like, there's nothing here to dunk on, except that I don't like the way it sounds, and that's just, it's an aesthetic thing. It's not like
I mean, y'all can disagree with me. This is a political statement by the Grammy people, and that annoys
me.
There's no reason to give this the song of the year.
Right. No, there's so many better choices.
Right. Although we don't know who's nominated. But if we did,
like, if we did research, say,
we would have found something.
They don't nominate the right songs over and over and over and over again as part of their problem. And so,
well,
I mean,
I'll tell you what, my pick could have been Song of the Year. I actually wonder if it was Record of the Year. I will check. All right, in 2006, hey, the Wii gaming console came out. Anyone play Wii?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Wii game?
Either when you're way up high on a platform hitting each other with swords.
Sure.
And you go spinning down into the water. Yeah. I love that one. Or tennis.
Yeah, tennis is going to be my answer.
Love the tennis.
I was more of a ping pong guy.
We actually had a Wii and put it in the basement when Will was old enough to know what a Wii was, because we were terrified of the video game thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's a sign of how much we've lowered the bar. We pulled it back out last winter when the COVID thing hit.
Uh-huh.
And our kids are hilarious playing against
each
other.
Yeah.
It's the great equalizer, like 17 versus 8. And it's
the
8-year-old
close. Can hang. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
I had a colleague once say when Martha was born, welcome to the world of just giving up on anything you said you would never do. And it's just, that's what parenthood is. Just a series of saying, well, I guess I will do that after all.
Yeah. Is it Airplane where the guy's like, I guess I picked the wrong week to stop smoking.
Right.
Yeah. Glue. Like snipping that's glue. Parenting, right? I guess I picked the last week to stop shooting heroin.
All right. Some awful terror attacks. The Mumbai train bombings leave 209 dead. Our president, President Bush, acknowledges that we have secret CIA prisons all over the world that are kind of off the book and don't really follow any norms. 65 miners are trapped underground after an explosion in Nueva Rosita, Mexico. None survive.
Ugh.
And then the Sago mine disaster kills 12 coal miners in Buckhannon, West Virginia. I've always said drowning, I think, would be the worst way to go, but I think being trapped underground is pretty bad.
You know, this is an entertainment podcast, right?
Sometimes thoughts come to me, Tim, and I don't know when not to.
Well, Tim, it depends what you mean. Sometimes the miners will hit a weird vein, and they die of gas poisoning, and that's actually pretty relaxing because
sometimes you
can't even smell it, and you just die. But you're right; being buried alive and running out of oxygen while you scrabble through the rocks would be unpleasant.
So there you see your jobs. Your job is talent, as you have claimed. Oh, I just throw things out there and see what happens.
India just ate me alive for that. She had nothing to do with that.
Oh, no. Oh, really?
She was like, dude.
We're going to rechange the name of this, like, 50 years of atrocities with the occasional pop song. That's what the news updates have been.
Well,
was there not a... Okay, never mind.
Sorry. Jeff Simons, you shared with us last week your story of the hold steady throwdown you nearly
had.
Oh,
yeah. That's right.
So in 2006, we have someone also kind of snap in reaction to another person's actions. Italy defeats France in the World Cup.
Ah, yes.
Do either of you remember what happens in the 110th minute there in stoppage time? What do you got?
And as Jeff remembers arcane sports stuff, Zinedine Zidane headbutts some guy in the chest to the point where the guy's chest like wraps around his skull for a second. He puts him to the earth. He gets a red card and costs France the World Cup and refuses to speak about it to this day. Correct? Like won't say what the guy said. Won't address it, but like it was this shocking moment of lost composure that cost them the final, right?
So here's what happens, according to the Italian Marco Moretti. He was pulling Zidane's shirt, and then the Frenchman turns around and says, "If you want my shirt, I'll give it to you after the game." Now, is there anything, if you're him, what would have to be said in response for you to lose your cool like this?
I mean, I don't know. Something beyond like zoot allure, like whatever you
say. So he says, if you want my shirt, I'll give it to you after the game. And the Italian says, I would prefer your whore of a sister.
That's what did it?
Yeah.
That's pretty soft.
I agree. Come on, Zidane.
I would prefer. No, not the shirt.
I mean, anything that starts with I prefer
the Kevin Garnett, Carmelo Anthony one.
What was that?
Kevin Garnett had actually slept with Carmelo Anthony's, I believe now wife, but then fiance. And he says to Carmelo,
all right, we're cutting that.
No, you brought it up.
Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, dear Lord.
You know, I had just started watching soccer at that point, and they turned around and did it. I was like, well, that looks like a foul. Red card. I was like, oh, I guess that's.
Oh, that is a foul. Yeah.
What I remember is me, like, the world was like, and I was like, oh, he's probably going to get a penalty for that. Like, I was used to watching NBA basketball.
Yeah, where, right.
Like, you get into a fist fight other, and then you take a free throw. Like, I didn't realize he was going to be
all right.
Knocked out for that.
Let's play a little game. Name the nuclear power. We will alternate guesses. North Korea in 2006 becomes the world's ninth nuclear power. Who are the other eight? Ben Barton, start with you.
USA.
Jeff.
Pakistan.
Ben.
USSR.
Jeff.
England.
Good. Ben.
England counts?
Yep.
China.
Yes. Jeff.
This is where I'm going to start to be bad.
Oof.
Israel.
Good. Ben.
India.
Great.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the final country with nuclear weapons. Jeff Simons.
Got to be Germany, right?
Oh,
no, it's France.
It's France.
Oh, Benny B, I finally win one.
Ben Barton winning the geopolitical sweepstakes. Nice job.
It's the reason why you don't piss off Zidane. He literally went nuclear. I should have seen that the way those two questions went together.
But boy, let's just go to
the talent.
Let's go to the number one hit on that note.
It's the number one hit.
Irreplaceable by Beyonce.
To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. Everything you own in the box to the left. In the closet, that's my stuff. Yes, if I bought it, please don't touch. And keep talking and that's fine. Could you walk and talk at the same time? Then it's my name that's on that bag. To remove your bag, let me call you a cab. Standing in the front yard, telling me how I'm such a fool. Talking about I'll never ever find a man like you. You got me to stay.
Is this her first solo album?
I have no idea.
I can't believe that's 2006. Damn, she's been really popular for a long time.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing. What year is the Austin Powers Foxy Brown thing? Is that around here?
That should be, yeah.
Should be, yeah. Gold member.
Because the first Austin Powers, I was in Vegas. That was so.
And she's not dating Jay-Z at this point.
No, I don't think so.
That's amazing. It's not Sexy Back? That's not the biggest hit of this year?
No? Irreplaceable? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, good stuff.
I wish the drum track weren't so metallic. It's so it makes my teeth hurt, the mix on that. That song's so shiny, but that's a good song.
Shiny.
You know what I mean? Like
I do.
It feels like you're eating rock candy. Like, it seemed like a good idea, and then like on the third crunch you're like, oh, I'll do anything to reverse this decision, you know. It's just too sweet.
Well, it's just so unvaried, and meanwhile her vocals are doing all sorts of neat, interesting stuff.
Yeah,
but not the drum sound. All right, let's go right into I've got two Invitation to Cynicism questions, really. Jeff Simons, one is specifically for you.
Uh-oh.
Barry Bonds passes Babe Ruth with his 715th home run. How'd you feel about it then? How do you feel about it now?
I was in the stands when he broke Hank Aaron's. I saw 756 in person.
Wow.
That was pretty neat to be in the stands for. I was pretty excited when he did it. And unquestionably, he had a little help. And I don't know. I wish I had a stronger opinion so that I would be more interesting in conversations about it. But I got to be honest, the whole baseball and steroid thing, like, I'm embarrassed for the guys who were just jackasses and lied and acted all indignant. And like, they just look so stupid and foolish. But the whole issue, I'm like, I wish people wouldn't poison their bodies to continue to have a, I'm sad they have to do that to have a professional career.
Right.
But the whole, like, the sanctity of the game and the records and that, I'm kind of lukewarm on that.
Well, I think back, I remember having a conversation with you at one point where you were waiting for someone to develop the league where anything goes. You can shoot yourself up as you walk to the plate with horse, you know, hormones. Just, you just wanted the league where it's like, yeah, go for it. Whatever.
Yeah, it's called mixed martial arts. Like, those cage matches is that idea come to life. Like, two men enter, one man leave is like the, you know, the Mad Max Thunderdome is the version of that. Yeah.
And we shouldn't forget just the humor of it. It was freaking hilarious. By now, the cat was out of the bag. And Barry Bonds, like, his head was the smallest part of his body. Like, he had like a little tiny squirrel head attached to a He-Man figure. Like, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
What he looked like.
It's true. At the same time, like, he hit a home run anytime they threw him a strike that season. Like,
oh man, that I mean, and honestly, the thing amazing. That was sad about it is, dude, he was an amazing baseball player when he was skinny. He's a really good baseball player. Like, I think that, like, what was the name of it? It was Brady Anderson, the guy on
the Oriole who hit 50 home runs out of nowhere.
Was not a great baseball player. And then he came in one day, he was like, I had a really good offseason, and then went completely. And as soon as that happened, Barry Bonds was like, that's it for this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really.
The jig is up.
Big time. Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my real invitation to cynicism question. In 2006, David Copperfield and two assistants are held at gunpoint by four armed teenagers. He has his wallet, his passport, and his phone on them, and he makes them all disappear as he empties his pockets, which is, what a great time to be a magician, right? Like, sorry, I don't have anything. But I want to know from the two of you, do you have a favorite magician that you've come across in your lifetime?
That's just the greatest question ever.
You're such a monster. I've declined to answer that.
First of all, it's always going to be Doug Henning, who is the magic.
Yes.
Illusion.
I mean, he's got bangs. Yeah.
With the big hair. Like, he's like, if Bob Ross became a magician, it would be Doug Henning. But actually, I watched a whole bunch of David Blaine videos with B this summer, like, desperately trying to mix it up in the COVID, like, we're at home, let's have some fun. And she just thought the David Blaine tricks were the most spectacular.
That is hilarious.
I had to teach her a card trick, and she's been trying to, like, teach herself magic tricks. And so she has these hilarious, like, watch this, like, on, you know, like, so. Right now, you know, like, the David Blaine phenomenon, I kind of get, like,
you're
watching
okay
him backstage at the All-Star game, like, make all those famous people, like, watching him make Steph Curry and Dave Chappelle act like 5-year-olds. There's a charm to that.
Ben Barton, it's a podcast.
Carrot Top count as a magician, because that's my selection, is Carrot Top. That's where I'm at with this question. If you keep asking, it gets worse.
Carrot Top.
How
is he a thing? He's
I don't know.
He's
prop humor. But I love Job on Arrested Development, that they just made fun of magicians so mercilessly. But what about Penn and Teller? They seem sophisticated.
Dude, I warned you not to keep asking. He's gonna
get
worse.
Okay. Let's go. It's just gonna get worse. We lost the
You're
scientists.
You're really 100% anti
magic.
Yes, hate, it all sucks.
You hate magic.
It's stupid. That Copperfield story. That was rigged. It's all rigged. He didn't get robbed. He didn't.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Palm his wallet. It's all a scam.
It's that four armed teenagers. Because you know those teenagers.
Yeah. It's the same four guys. Yeah. Never mind.
Don't even. I was getting Jordan's dad. Is that where you're
going? Yeah. Or the subway guys that Trump went after in the 80s. You know.
Jordan's dad. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, just quick time out. I started watching The Last Dance like 3 days ago, and I'm I stayed up way too late. I can't stop watching it. Have you guys seen that?
I never did. Should I? So would Helen like it?
No.
All right, I'll watch it though. Is it on HBO? Oh,
no, it's on Netflix. But I thought I'm pretty riveted by it, and I hated that Bulls team. But the backstage footage is just, I mean, you really feel like you're inside the whole thing.
Okay. I watched half of it, and I hated the Bulls.
Yeah.
Second, I've already come to a firm conclusion that Jordan's the best guy I ever saw. Third, his version of winning and his abusive personality is a big part of the reason why we're where we are. Like, and the Kobe thing is his fault too. And Kobe's just a more cartoonish, less successful version of it. But dude, to be the best, you don't have to tear everybody else down, including your teammates. That's not leadership. And it's this toxic leadership that has really bled out. And it's not all Jordan's fault, but I mean, it's not a good look at all. Like, I would much prefer a Tim Duncan one.
I think it's fascinating to watch in this particular moment. Like, it's really not a document. I mean, it is a documentary exactly about what it claims to be about. And it has tendrils that reach out into so many other things. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
Burned down on it though, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
It was right when the magician entered. Ben's like, I'm out. So I'm gone.
It's like, there's a magician, and he ran out of the house.
R3 songs. All right. R3 songs. Who goes first?
I don't remember.
I think I go first.
Let's do it.
All right. So, Jeff has previously picked the most obscure song, and I'm going to top it with a currently unreleased song.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
So my guy and our guy, Prince, last time we checked in, was on the come up. And
how many Prince songs have you chosen at this point? This
will be two.
Okay.
We came up on Purple Rain, and we didn't cover the peak, the parabola, or the downslope. And basically, he's a gargantuan, massive, big enough star in the 80s where there's a kind of legit Michael Jackson versus Prince argument. The 90s are less kind. He gets in that weird pissing match with Warner Brothers. He declines to use his own name. He's referring to himself as the artist formerly known as Prince and replacing his name with a symbol. He works his way through the Warner Brothers recording contract, and then he goes through this series of weird records where he puts out 3 CD albums, 5 CD albums. Like, he's just releasing all his back catalog. Jeff is an actual better music fan than I am, and he can actually tell you, like, Crystal Ball, he's got an opinion on. Like, he listened to all 3 60-minute CDs, and it's like, well, the 15 good songs of the 60 songs on this stupid record are... But dude, it just wore me out. It was super, super, super hard. At the same time, like, there's that great performance where he gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And 2007, he's the Super Bowl halftime show, and you can't believe how freaking good that performance is.
Yeah. By the way, don't you get electrocuted playing electric guitar in the rain?
Yeah. I mean, he's on Saturday Live a couple of different times. He's just like, it's either 2006 or 2005. He's the number one touring act in the world. Like, he makes more money touring than anybody else. Like, he remains this gargantuan star.
Yep.
But he can't get out of his own way. He's like releasing the wrong stuff, recording the right stuff. He's like all mixed up in his own mind about what he wants to do. 2006 at Paisley Park, he records a 5-song EP. Although it's actually not 100% clear because he's now passed on, and this is all according to the engineer. The engineer of Paisley Park decides that in 2006, he records the 5 best Prince songs of that decade, and Prince declines to release it. And so the guy keeps it, and in 2017, when Prince dies, he tries to release it. He gets sued. It actually physically leaks, so I have it, Jeff has it, and if you kind of hustle around, you can find it.
This is the one you were talking about.
Yeah, totally.
Back in the day. I think I found it. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's called Deliverance. The song Deliverance is my favorite. It's anti-war, anti-how Katrina worked out song. it's explicitly religious. It's like basically a gospel song. And one of the things that's so amazing about Prince, and one of the reasons why I love this song is, and this is why I like Kanye too, is like, he's a full reflection, or he's like an amalgamation of the entire African-American musical experience. Like, he puts it all together. Like, he's got amazing rock songs. He's got great funk songs. He's got a whole bunch of awesome disco songs. And this album has got some just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gospel songs. And he's got this weird, like, he's on the one hand, both the most sexually adventurous artist of our lifetimes, or on the short list of that. But also he's got this weird, like, religious side to him. Like that song Seven, I love, and that's a religious song. He's got a whole spirituality that comes out in this one. If Jeff, in a second, I'm going to ask you to start at minute 134. So we get the second verse.
Right.
And he's describing how, like the battle against war and what hope do we have? And the last lyrics of this verse are, all that people can do is cause each other injury. Can somebody say Katrina Levy's? And then he goes into this blazing guitar solo. And then he does the chorus and he's out. And I'm going to choke up when you play it. Like, it just murders me every single time. Jeff, Deliverance.
I'm sorry, you want 113?
134.
134.
Deliverance by Prince.
And...
who are they that would turn a deaf ear to the peaceable ones who bring good news? Which to achieve it. Now who got the blues? You can ease the pain of a few, but until God intervenes, ain't nothing, nothing man can do.
Except cause each other injury. Somebody say, Katrina Levy's.
So this is a 47-year-old
on
Prince,
fire.
And the chorus is, time's so hard to deal with, now understand your deliverance is at hand. And there's just something about it that just powerfully moves me. And he's still got it. I mean, first of all, he just blazes. Woo! When he's doing the guitar solo, I'm like, oh, you're burning my eyebrows. Slow down. And the singing, the guitar parts, the background singers, the organ. And then just like, this is the weird thing. It's like, there's a bunch of artists like this where they have all the stuff in the vault. And really, honestly, most of the stuff in the vault isn't very good.
Right.
But when
right.
you get this sort of thing, you're like, good Lord. Like, what is sitting in the Paisley Park vault? How is it possible that this isn't the first thing they released? Like, this is amazing.
It sounds like he has a whole choir behind him.
Yeah. No, dude. Well, also, I mean, keep in mind, at this point, he's a gargantuan, massive star with unlimited amounts of money.
Sure.
And so he's just sitting in Minneapolis. He could bring in whoever he wants to play with him. And he can record however he wants. He's just recording all the time. And obviously some of it's not good. Some of it is good. The last thing I'll note is just how sad it is that he died of fentanyl overdose.
Yeah.
And that a guy this talented who had this much to give us all died that way. Like, it's just super harsh that he would go out that way. And like, to have a death of despair attached to Prince is just like really hurts my stomach and my heart.
What was the cause of Tom Petty's death?
Same thing.
There's some kind of opiate overdose. Yeah.
Fentanyl. Same fentanyl again for the hip replacement surgery pain.
So these are just pills that they're taking?
I have no idea.
I remember
both of these guys had doctors that traveled with them, and this is how addicted they were to opioids, is that they OD'd basically under a doctor's care. Jeez. Michael Jackson died under a doctor's care too. These you can't fuck around with this stuff at all. Like, it's super dangerous.
Wow. Great song. Yeah, I looked that up back when we were doing the 85 or the 84 podcast. I was like, oh, all this stuff, like, he just records and is like, nah, I'll put that away for a little while. You're like, oh my God, this stuff is gold.
Yeah, the song I Am from the EP also just shreds.
I thought that was going to be your pick. That's equally fabulous.
Yeah, this one's good because it ties to Katrina. And it also it fits the mood of that year. And to me, it fits the mood of this year. I've listened to this song more this year than a lot of other songs.
Interesting.
Well, I've been trying to figure out what to listen to in the last 5 days that'll match my mood. Maybe it's that one that I got to start playing on a loop.
All right, Jeff, do it, man.
Yeah, I got nothing else to add on that. That's great. And Prince did a terrible job deciding what to release once he didn't have a record company to answer to. But the thing that's different about him than the thing that's different about him with Michael Jackson is Prince is making music for himself first, and then he was trying to figure out how to communicate that to other people. Whereas Michael Jackson, after Thriller, never recorded a note without thinking of the audience. And I think you really hear it in the difference in the art that they made after they blew up. Like, Prince stayed weird and he had a vision and it sounds like him, and that is him playing guitar. And, you know, Michael sounded like whatever was popular in the moment that he was in a recording studio. And to his great detriment in the last few records that he made, I thought.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm doing two things this month. I'm also going a little obscure. This is a song you'll know really well, but you might not know this version. So I'm trying to answer I'm trying to pay homage to one thing and answer a question from a previous podcast.
Okay.
I got some questions on the Facebooky about, like, what's wrong with the Killers?
throw you under the bus.
Find me online and throw me under the bus. Thanks so much.
By the way, I got some heat on Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
Some of the Wainwright stands came from me.
Excellent.
So my ears really appreciate when a song has a really wide mix, especially rock and roll. Like, I like to hear a big range. Like, I want low lows and high highs, and I want the drums to sound separate from the bass, from the guitar. I want to feel like there's a panoramic mix where I can see the space between the players while they record.
Okay.
A lot of 2000 rock squished that into one compressed mid-range space. When I hear the Killers, I feel like I'm hearing four guys huddled together in the middle of the stage, like, coming straight at me, and I don't get that wide. And I, you know, that wide range is old fashioned, and it's an old school version of recording, and it dates me, but it's just my preference. And it gets in the way of my enjoyment of modern rock music, is that they take the dynamic range and go and squish it up.
Okay.
This song doesn't do that, which is part of the reason I love it so much. The second thing I'm trying to do here is give love to the original versions of songs that became famous done by other people. One of the really fun things to do if you're a big music head is when you fall in love with a song, when you discover it's a cover, to take the time to go back and find the original.
Sure.
And then not to denigrate the cover, but to celebrate, like, oh, there was this original version. Sometimes the cover is better. Sometimes the original is better. Here's an example of where the two versions are just different. And both terrific.
I'm so curious.
Yeah.
So Ben, do you have any idea?
The cover version of the song was an enormous hit, deservedly so. It's great. It was wonderfully produced. It was brilliantly sung. And it took the tempo and jacked it up about 12 BPMs and turned it into kind of a soul review. The original version is much more of a thumpy rock and roll, right in the middle tempo. It's by a Liverpool band that came and went pretty quickly. They had three records. They never made a dent in the United States except with Music Nerds. And they had in 2006 kind of a 6-month moment in England. They played Glastonbury. They had a top 10. They were on Top of the Pops. By 2009, they've broken up. They've played one show together as friends since then. So they're a footnote for sure. They're called the Zootons.
The what? And
the Zootons with a Z.
Huh.
And this is this song, which Mark Ronson grabbed from semi-obscurity and turned into an international hit when he gave it to Amy Winehouse to record.
Oh.
This is the original version of her second biggest or biggest hit. This is the original version of Valerie, and it's my favorite song from 2006, and it's also a great reminder to us to, like, when you hear a song you love, if it was written by somebody else, sniff around, see what other versions there are, because sometimes even, like, this is a version where I don't think this is better than a cover, but it's different, and I just the groove of this song just absolutely does it for me. These guys are so in the pocket in this recording.
Valerie by the Zootons.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water. And I think of all the things, what you do.
Great stuff.
Just killer. That turning that horn riff into that, when it becomes a guitar riff in the chorus, it's just so, it's so hard to play that together at that tempo, and it's so hard to not turn that tempo into something that feels plodding. And I just think they thread the needle here on this track really, well, really well.
What's their other stuff like? How could I have never heard of that band before?
There's no song that's even close to that catchy in the catalog. I have a couple of other songs I really like, but that is the, like, this
that's
is a this is a one hit wonder band, right? Like, I mean, they have three pretty good records, they have 10 pretty good songs, and they have this just one monster. And that was the genius of Mark Ronson, is he's got great ears for great material and for picking songs. And not just covering them, but, like, rethinking them and re-engineering them to be something different and equally good. So
it's so funny you say a one-hit wonder band. I guess in my mind, one-hit wonder bands, I've conceived of them as not being terribly talented. But
sometimes,
But you're saying that sometimes... they can be talented.
Sure. Sometimes a band writes one fantastic song and 10 okay ones. And what are you going
to
do?
Which, by the way, it's not easy to write one fantastic
song. That's right, man.
Everyone's seen a band where you're like, I wish they had one fantastic song.
Yeah, man. That is for sure. Right.
I was in bands that fit that category multiple times.
Man, is there nothing worse than when you're suffering through an opening act and they finish and it's like, surely that's the last one? I'm like, all right, we got three or four more. You're like, no, you don't.
No,
you didn't
even have
three or four to begin with. that hurts my feelings when that happens.
That does.
That's a great selection by Jeff. That's a classic song that sounds just like the Jam.
Yeah, it does. That's so good. You're right.
That's
Paul Weller.
Yeah.
Well, all now right, I just feel stupid.
No, dude, you've got a brand. You've got a brand. You've got to stick
with
it.
I do have a brand. So
working class British. That's your brand.
That's so funny. At least I'm so brandy though. Like, it's always a quarter pounder. You know, like, I wish I had, like, at least could bring the McRib to the table. But I'm like, nope. Quarter pounder. All right. What do you got, Tim?
All right. Yeah. Real quick. So I had Jenny Lewis on my original list, Rise Up with Fists. And I love Jenny Lewis because.
How is that not your selection?
What? Did you have it ready?
Oh, I've got the cursor on Rise Up With Fists.
Rise Up With Fists.
Look, song.
There's little Patrick. Our year together in that tiny, tiny apartment. All we did was feed that child and listen to Jenny Lewis. Yet, when I went to a screenwriting workshop, it's so funny, Jeff, you made fun of me a couple weeks ago about I hear a guy in a bar. It's my favorite song of the year. So it just so happened I'm in Santa Monica and I'm puzzling through this screenplay of like how to place a character into Huck Finn where she's going to try and solve the plot of Huck Finn and shake Huck out of his complacency. And I had this awesome, awesome breakthrough. And I was so excited, and it's midnight in Santa Monica, and I go out to a bar, and I sit down. The band stops playing, and I'm at the bar, and the DJ takes over, and it is Justin Timberlake.
We're bringing sexy back with you?
We are indeed bringing sexy Timmy. Back. Let's go.
That fits your vibe, my friend. You gonna shake it for us?
That's why I'm standing.
First of all, this is why it's not a video podcast. It's, oh, my God, Tim dropped his pants and he's showing us his butt. Amazing.
It really is amazing.
So and, jacked. Come on
took,
now, bring sexy back.
It took way too long to get to that.
Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake.
Like, how did we get this far into the podcast?
Is that his second solo album?
I have no idea.
I think it is. I mean, the little guy from the Disney show, boy band.
From Memphis, Tennessee.
Very nice.
He's about to turn 40 years old at the end of this month, Justin Timberlake. And he's got, do you see the new movie?
No, what's he doing?
An ex-con who takes a transgender boy under his wing. Who says no, right? What a fascinating career Justin Timberlake has had.
And yeah, I really enjoyed him on SNL as the like really aggressive guy holding the sign out front of the restaurant and dressed up like a hot dog.
I ride hard for a dick in a box too. That's yeah, my favorite amazing. Timberlake song.
So great.
Especially the video. Maya Rudolph is so funny in that video. Her reactions to the box, which is just like, thank you. So funny every time.
So I totally missed out on Justin Timberlake in 2006. Caught up to him in 2014. I wasn't going to miss him in 2020. That's
oh, really? I had this record in 2006.
Oh, you
and
did?
I really liked it. Yeah, totally. Yeah. This was a huge leap forward. So he's got Justified in 2002.
Right, and that's the Michael Jackson ripoff, even though it's pretty good. Yeah,
totally. But this one was the like, this is the Timberlake is the producer, and this is his masterpiece, in my opinion. This is the one where he really, really, really spins gold. And not to be mean to Timberlake, but it's a Timbaland record for sure.
So
I don't think Timberlake would even argue with that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's really.
Well, I mean, dude, you can't have a career as long as he has. Similar to Madonna, like you can't have a career as long as he's had without being super extra mega talented and having a great ear. Like, it's too much to say that he just rode on one guy.
So speaking for all the 50-year-old white guys in the audience, Timberlake and Timbaland came to their names separately.
Totally. Timbaland is named after the shoe and Timberlake is named after his dad.
That's good. That's good. That's what I need. I know where Timberlake is right now. Where's Timbaland right now?
I think it's really hard to stay a top producer.
I assume he's sleeping on a giant pile of money somewhere, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's done really well.
Oh, by the way, Brian Koppelman had what's his face on?
Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin. Have you guys listened to it yet?
Not at all, because even though Brian was nice enough to come on to our podcast, I have not returned the favor and listened to his, because I'm a jerk. But I will check it out.
What? Because Koppelman's a jerk?
No, I'm a jerk for not listening to his podcast.
Wow, because he dumped us.
No.
Because of the whole Sammy Hagar thing.
If he comes on again, I'll check out his podcast. You know, we'll see.
It's a great, great podcast. I can't wait to. When he started his podcast, he listed 20 people that he wanted to have on at some point, and Rick Rubin right away was on there. So he was very excited to have Rubin on. All right, gentlemen, let's.
Timbaland's also all the best Missy Elliott songs are Timbaland.
Oh
too.
God, so, okay. Yeah.
He's really.
I'm actually kind of. I feel. I loved that record. Is that the Super Duper Fly record?
Yeah.
Is him right?
Yeah.
I loved that record. That
Good
was really
stuff.
Fun.
I am. Indeed, bringing sexy back.
All right, next week's when Ben's gonna it's gonna get ugly here on the podcast. 2007. This is
oh really?
This,
what's your
this
prediction?
When it comes after you.
Oh, I'm gonna hurt. You're gonna figure it out. I'm.
Oh
really
no! Is
Ben
it that
feelings.
Doug Wilco song I hate? I can't wait. I'm loaded to bear for that for sure.
Can't wait.
Good thing we have a little
I already,
bit of break.
2004, my original draft had Spiders Kid Smoke, but I had to eliminate it because we've had too much Wilco. So.
It's going to be great.
I'm pretty amped. 2007, 8, and 9, I'm just locked and loaded. I didn't have any trouble picking those.
Awesome. All right, fellas. Great talking to you tonight. Won't see each other for a while, right?
Yeah, either because we're recording earlier than usual or because we all had to go into hiding. Totally. We'll see which one it is.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Come woo-hoo. On, America. All right. I'll
you friends,
talk
take
to
you care.
Later,
talk yeah, later on, anything. Brothers. Well done.
Yeah. Right. Bye-bye. Hey, if you're having as much fun as we are, leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a rating on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen to podcasts, give us a shout. And then check us out on Twitter or at our Facebook page, 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed Podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us. From renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed Podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Hey guys, it's Miriam Love here, and I want to share something very special with you. Check out my new release, All In, the Spanish remixes, out now on Electric House Records. And always remember, be love, share love, all love.
Available now wherever you listen to music.